broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
I call on my colleagues in the House.
Do as you wish.
I'd like to state that this hearing is not about science. It's about the destruction.
Chair lays before the House the following communication.
So what I'm telling you is you need to follow the law.
Did you ever smoke, Wolf?
No, not really.
You're calling me a wide hunk.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. This is a patriot conservative radio show hosted by me, Phil Hendry. Truth is our bitch, and we are here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We're a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot. What is it to be a patriot conservative? Well, what it is to be a patriot conservative is very, very simple, folks. Your ideology is very important. Being a conservative is very important. It's the last, in my opinion, it's the last sensible political outlook there is. But being a patriot's more important, and that's why I say we always put our country before anything else, being a patriot conservative. Welcome to our program. And our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. I am working on being at the immigration reform broadcast, series of broadcast remotes in Washington, D.C. in April. So I'd like you to stay tuned for details on that. We want to be in Washington, D.C. in April. There will be many radio shows broadcasting from throughout, broadcasting from various locations in the United States that will be joining together in Washington in April on immigration reform. And we certainly hope to have the Phil Hendry Show there front and center as well. Visit our website, philhendryshow.com. You can get live streaming video and live streaming audio of the show. You can hear our archives that go back thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of hours worth, as well as our news feed, as well as our podcasts, as well as our classic podcasts. They're all there at philhendryshow.com. We're going to be bringing on Doug Danger this evening, who is an entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier. And what we're going to talk about tonight is the, you know, we talk an awful lot in our society about the widening differences between class. Is it true that we're in the midst of a class war? Well, I think that class wars are, I think they're more about talk than they are about anything else. I think people like to talk about that when they aren't talking about racial wars, for instance. I think when we talk about class war, basically what we're saying is, boy, times are sure tough, aren't they? I don't have as much money, maybe, as I wish I had. This guy's got more money than I do. Somebody's going to come along and exploit that. You have to be smart enough to know what it is that they're doing. Is there a difference, though, between ourselves and the Dreammakers, Hollywood? That's what we're going to talk about with Doug Danger this evening, as the headline today was that a judge has revoked Lindsay Lohan's probation. He revoked her probation. She's headed for a fourth stint in jail because there was a bail bondsman standing there ready to bond her out. So Superior Court Judge Keith L. Schwartz continued Lohan's felony grand theft hearing to February 23rd, set the bail at $40,000, $20,000 each for the felony charge, and $20,000, listen to this, for violation of her probation stemming from the 2007 DUI case, violating her probation. And then he urged her to obey the law. I don't know about you, I know what would have happened to me. I haven't spent long stretches in jail. I have been in jail as a very young man. I spent a night in jail. And I can tell you, not that I've got any hardcore experience, but just as a law-abiding citizen, to find yourself in jail, even if you're an 18-year-old kid, as I was, it's quite troubling. And if there's one thing you learn right off the bat, especially when you're 18, you don't have any friends. And there isn't anybody looking out for your special interests. There's no one that understands your contribution to society or anything else. There's not going to be anybody there to hold your hand or tell the judge what a warm and wonderful human being you really are. Let's get Doug Danger in on the conversation here from Santa Ana, California, the entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier. Doug, a question for you. And first of all, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
The question that I've got for you is, Lindsay Lohan, why does she continue to rate special treatment?
You've got that wrong. Let me say first off, Bill, that as a gay man, as a gay journalist, and I came out, as you know, about 3 months ago, so I know exactly the long, hard road that those of us who are gay, those of us who are members of a minority, what we go through in order to achieve success, or at least a modicum of success in this society. The gay man's a gay journalist. I look at Lindsay Lohan. She's not getting any break. Lindsay Lohan has, in my opinion, Lindsay Lohan hasn't got one break. Lindsay Lohan has been in front of a judge. She's had to pay out $40,000 in fine. This is a woman who is continuously being arrested. She's already done jail time.
What? You're telling me she hasn't gotten any breaks at all?
I don't think she's gotten any breaks at all. Not for someone in her position. A woman like that in her position who contributes to society. And understand something. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, so I recognize what the contributions are of our celebrities.
Now, what, let me ask you something. You keep saying you're a gay man and a gay journalist. I've known you for a long time, and I know that you're gay. And I don't know why you have to continually repeat that.
Well, I'm repeating it because I want you to know my orientation. But what is more troubling is that you find it troubling that I'm saying it. And I have to say to you that I know you, Phil. I know you to be a fair man. But I think that there is a little bit of a subliminal or hidden homophobia.
There's no homophobia here, man. It's just that when you were talking...
Well, hold on for a minute. I don't want to be called man. If you could address me as Doug. Or Mr. Danger, okay?
All right, I'm sorry, but as you were talking, you said you're a gay man and a gay journalist.
All right, I am a gay man and a gay journalist.
Okay, you said that a couple of times.
Because I want you to know my orientation when it comes to Lindsay Lohan. Listen to me. Lindsay Lohan is someone that contributes to our society. Lindsay Lohan is someone, through her acting in motion pictures and television programs, she uplifts our state of mind. She uplifts our life condition as an actress. She is able to do public service work. She's able to go out and raise money for charities as an actress, obviously. And I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. As an actor, I can tell you this, because as an actress, she is able to raise money for different charities as well as have studios bankroll films and television programs based upon her participation.
And where were you getting that the studios are going to bankroll? This woman is nothing but trouble, man.
Because she had, let me tell you something. I was at the courthouse today. All right, so, you know, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. They go out and do my job. And I was at the courthouse today.
You being a gay man and a gay journalist, has that got anything to do with you being at the courthouse today?
Yeah, yes, it does. Because I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, I do my job. You understand what I'm saying? I do my job, and I do it in a focused way. And, for you and I to continue this conversation, you're going to have to accept the fact that I'm gay.
And I accept the fact that you're gay, Doug. The fact that you're telling me this over and over again is a little bit troubling. Let me give our phone number out. It's 877-876-7445. Next hour, we got Don Mixa as we talk here with Doug Danger about Lindsay Lohan. Why is she getting special treatment, Doug?
I think you've already asked me that.
Yes, I have, and I got to ask you that again, because we've been talking about you being a gay man and a gay journalist, which I appreciate, but why...
You bring it up in a sarcastic way like that smacks of homophobia, which I'm gonna.
It's not homophobia. I don't think that this is an unusual thing to be asked. I'm sure that you have been asked it, and I'm going to ask it again.
Well, all right, you're a conservative. You call yourself a patriot conservative, right?
Yes.
Okay, what do I got to hear about that?
I'm not saying that I'm a patriot conservative over and over and over again.
Every time you're on the air, you're talking about radio for patriots, by patriots, patriot conservative all the time. Why do you do that?
All right, tell you what. I just want to talk about Lohan, and we can discuss, you know.
Well, we're not going to talk about my orientation, because that's why I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. That's not going to change.
I understand that. I want to talk about Lindsay Lohan. Why does she get a break?
Why do you think she's getting a break?
Because this woman has not done, in my... Every time I read about her, and here she has violated probation, the judge hangs a $20,000 bond price on her. He tells her to obey the law. How many times do you think she's been told that? We have seen this young lady in court over and over and over again. Why not put her inside for a long time and treat her as she would be, as anybody else would be treated, as you would be treated, as I would be treated? What is the message here for the young people that follow her?
Look, Phil, Lindsay Lohan is an individual who contributes to society in ways that other people cannot contribute. Now, let me finish this. As a gay man, as a gay journalist, I've seen Lindsay Lohan. I've seen the kind of charity work that she can do. I've seen the kind of public service that she can do. I've seen how she uplifts people with her acting and the performances that she's in. And that's something the average person can't do. I wish that I could. I wish that you could. I wish the people listening to your program that I could do that, Phil. As a gay man, as a gay journalist, I can tell you that it would be wonderful if we all had that kind of effect on society, but we can't do it. Anybody that calls your program tonight, you, me, we go out there and try to raise money for charity. We go out there and try and be in a movie. We go out there and try to be a TV show. And people are going to laugh until they're sick all over themselves. And I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, but I'm telling you, she is more meaningful to the community than the average blue-collar worker, the average Joe or Jane. There's no denying that. And that's why the judge has got to bond her out, because he knows so much is riding on her staying out of jail.
Well, I think it's an... I reject entirely what you just said.
Well, you can reject entirely what I just said, but you're going to have to, at some point, you're going to have to argue why.
I reject it from this, from the following. First of all, there's not a movie that's ever been made. I don't even think there's a charity that is out there that is so reliant upon one person.
Look, you just got done telling me...
That is so, hold on, that is so reliant upon one person that they're going to go belly up or otherwise see the very end of their operation if that person is not out.
You just got done telling me, and I was at the courthouse. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist looking at all of the people that they had sent with Lindsay Lohan. She had a security team with her. And you're trying to tell me there's not anybody that important? You don't have a security team around you like that unless someone thinks you are very important. And there's a studio out there that is protecting Lindsay Lohan and wants her back under the lights at work and this stuff behind her.
Well, good luck with the stuff behind her. That's what I'm talking about.
You know, you call yourself a conservative, and you wonder why so many people in Hollywood are liberals. I'll tell you why a lot of people in Hollywood are progressives and liberals, and why I am at times. I'm not as much of a liberal as a lot of them, because if they were conservatives, Lindsay Lohan would probably be eating out of a garbage can right now, and we would be that much the poorer for not seeing this young lady's wonderful talents and the wonderful things that she can do in front of the camera and the great the money that she can make for the great people that she can make money for and all of that. If it was run by conservatives, she'd be at the bottom of a dumpster on her hands and knees licking that thing. And
you're telling me, hold on, I just want to be clear, this is a political thing now. This is about ideology. If conservatives ran Hollywood, Lindsay Lohan would be licking the bottom of a dumpster.
I'm telling you there would not be the compassion for artists that we need. And I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I've covered this for a long time. There would not be the compassion for artists that we do need in our society. I'm sorry that you've got listeners out there, Phil, that don't get a break. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I don't get a break. You don't get a break. Lindsay Lohan has got to have a break. And the reason why she's got to have that break is because she's a little bit better than the rest of us from the standpoint of what she can do. And she is a little bit better than the rest of us from the standpoint of what the money she can raise and the happiness she can bring. And yes, maybe morally, she's a little bit better than the rest of us. And she needs to use those drugs. And she needs to drink that alcohol. And I say that as a gay man and a gay journalist, that she's got to use drugs to deaden the horror of life, having to entertain a world that would turn around and throw her in prison.
Doug Danger with us, and as I said, I reject everything that you've just said. I think it is a fanciful argument filled with marvelous cliches.
There's not one cliche. Now, hold on there for a minute, Caballero. There was not one cliche I used at any of that. As a gay man and a gay journalist and a writer, I have to be original.
No, that was just rife with cliche and rife with a sort of a fantasy that I'm reminded of George C. Scott when he passed on, the great George C. Scott, one of the greatest actors that ever lived, who said that there is a myth around the actor that he was sent to us from heaven on a cloud, almost as if he was Jesus himself, and that he comes down to salve the wounds and ease the pain of the common man, and then he is lifted back up rapture-like to heaven after. And I think that's the fantasy that Doug Danger's in right now, but we'll find out what you guys think. Our number is 877-876-7445. Lindsay Lohan, why is she getting a break? Or is it because she deserves a break over you and I? This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And this is Radio for Patriots, by Patriots. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry.
to Radio for Patriots by Patriots, the Phil Henry Show, here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. Doug Danger joining me from the Orange County Courier. We're talking about Lohan, and I'm going to ask you about Charlie Sheen in a minute, but really what this conversation is about, Doug, in my opinion, is the fact that we have a country filled with human beings that will never be movie stars, never be in the limelight. Nonetheless, our citizens, our taxpayers, our law abiders, and they get up in the morning, they open up their paper, and they see somebody like this getting another break, another bond posted. Charlie Sheen, here's a guy that put a knife to his wife's neck, beat up a hooker, or whoever the hell it was he beat up. Not the same standard.
Let me tell you something, Phil. As a gay man, as a gay journalist, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell your audience this, and your audience knows this already, because I think you've made the mistake of saying that you are speaking for the average man. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and yet I'm speaking more for the average man than you are. The average person out there wants to see Lindsay Lohan and Charlie Sheen back at their jobs, making them happy, making them laugh, doing their movies, doing the things that they do to make the world a happier place and a place that's easier to deal with for the average person. You look at a guy. You talk about Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, let me talk about Charlie Sheen. Let me ask you something, okay?
Charlie Sheen never hurt anybody. Okay, Charlie Sheen is a party animal, if you want to put it that way. He never hurt anybody.
I just got done telling you that he put a knife to his own wife's neck and he beat up a hooker.
I'm telling you that Charlie Sheen, he has never hurt anyone of any consequence. Yes, I know. Look, he beat up a hooker, and as much as I feel for, and those are people that are abused, I think mostly by the police, but, and the wife that he put the knife to was not Denise Richards.
So, in other words, the wife he put the knife to was not a celebrity, and this is just a hooker that he beat up?
Yes, then you don't have to pose it as a question. What I'm making the overall point is he's never hurt anyone except for those two people that it could be argued. I wouldn't argue it, but it could be argued that they don't count.
They don't count, huh?
They don't count the way if you were married to... You can twist it all you want, man, but...
By the way, I just called me, man, and that was something you didn't want me to call you. Our number is 877-876-PHIL.
Well,
you did. 877-876-7445. We'll go to a phone call here in Los Angeles. It's Tom listening on KTLK. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, my name's Tom. I'm a straight man and a straight law student, and
yeah,
I don't understand.
Yeah.
Well, I don't understand why you being a gay man and a gay journalist has any more credibility to Lindsay Lohan, who hasn't accomplished anything. Yes, she's very fortunate to be an actress, but what has she done that is earth-shaking or moving? She's surrounded by people in court because they don't want to put the photographers to ram cameras up her face. What has she done, and why is she a gay...
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist because that's the mountain I've had to climb as a reporter. It makes me a better reporter, I've got a far better perception. And I see these things
I give
clearly.
You credit for, then I give you credit for coming out, but how does... Wait. How does you being a gay man, and have you a better perception of seeing things
because
more clearly, being
as
that you're
gay?
As
a gay man and a gay journalist, and she's a bisexual, which is something else that has to be pointed out. And I'm saying, laughing at her being a bisexual? Are you laughing at her being a bisexual?
I'm nothing...
I don't understand
that. If she's a bisexual... No, I'm laughing that... You're prefacing your conversation and your credibility based on you being
right.
a gay man. So what?
Right.
I'm
what
a
the hell does
man,
that? What does that got to do with anything, man?
Well,
you tell me.
You just interrupted
it.
I'm going to ask.
I would say this: as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I have a better idea of what's going on here. And what's going on here is that Lindsay Lohan,
yes, as a journalist,
as a gay man, and a gay journalist. You know I'm gay.
Your sexual preference. I know you're gay, and
you
I'm
know
happy
I'm,
for you.
As a gay man, and I'm looking at a woman as a bisexual. And
what has her being a bisexual got to do with any of it? You know what I hear, Doug?
I don't care.
You're making a lot of excuses.
Well, I'm not making any excuses. I'm simply saying she's a bisexual.
Wow. Your whole conversation is an excuse. I'm a gay man, I'm a gay journalist, therefore I can see more clearly. I'm a gay man, I'm a gay journalist. That means that...
When you go out into the world, you're going to tell people you're a lawyer? Are you going to tell people you're a lawyer when you go out into the world and you begin your law practice?
Yes, I am not going to say I'm a straight
and
man and a straight lawyer. I'm going to say,
what are you gonna say?
I'm a... Just as you're a journalist. You should say Doug Danger, journalist.
Are you going to say that you're a lawyer?
I'm going to say Tom Esquire.
I'm going to say I'm a gay man and a gay journalist because we were not allowed to say that. If you were allowed to say that you're a gay lawyer, and if you were a gay lawyer, you'd say that.
Why would he say that?
My legal signature would not say Tom.
Would be Esquire. We'll take a break. We'll be back. The world famous Phil Henry Show with Doug Danger, and this is Radio for Patriots by Patriots. 877-876-7445. Lindsay Lohan. Why is she treated differently from the rest of us?
I'm a gay man and a gay journal.
Famous Phil Henry Show.
It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. It's radio for Patriots by Patriots. And welcome back to our program here as we talk with Doug Danger. He is an entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier. We're talking about Lindsay Lohan, but we're not talking about Lindsay Lohan's movies or her TV shows. We're not talking about her much talked about parents. We're talking about the fact that this is a young lady who, though she may be very talented, is getting a far bigger break in the judicial system than any of us would get, you or I. And this is a young woman who's been in and out of court. She hasn't spent more than a few days in jail. She is constantly screwing up, and she's protected. And what we're really dealing with here, Doug, and you refuse, and maybe it's because you've been writing about entertainment for a long time, is there's you and me and the people listening to this program right now, and there's Lindsay Lohan.
There is Lindsay Lohan, Phil, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? And
I know you're a gay man and a gay journalist. You have not yet told me what that's got to do with what we're talking about.
Lindsay Lohan is a bisexual actress who has come up some very rough roads, and she was blessed by only one thing. I think her parents are terrific. I think that Michael and Dina are doing their very best to protect their daughter from a mob of people who say they want Lindsay Lohan to be put before the bar of justice and treated the way any other person would be treated, but they still wanted to turn out all those movies. They wanted to come to their charity events. They wanted to come to their openings. They want an autograph, and they want all of these things. Lindsay Lohan is not a guy who's driving a truck. Lindsay Lohan, as much as I respect truck drivers, Phil, my father was a truck driver, and I love my father, but you know, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I didn't love him as much as some other people that helped me more because my father didn't like the fact that I was gay. So I don't really think truck drivers are all that. Nor do I think the lady that checks out your groceries is all that because my mother checked out groceries. And those people, you know, those people that check out groceries, they're fine. But who's better? Lindsay Lohan.
What do you mean, who's better? You can't say who's better. You can say Lindsay Lohan is a lot of fun to watch. You can say, gee, I sure am glad that
I can say it, and I think the people listening to your audience tonight, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Okay, and you're a gay man and a gay journalist, and so therefore Lindsay Lohan's better.
I didn't say that at all. You know, that homophobia. Wow.
Dude, there's no I said dude, too, by the way. There's no homophobia here. No homophobia here.
Oh, okay.
There is only a guy saying to you, Lindsay Lohan, you know, she's better than someone driving a truck, better than someone checking out groceries.
Because my father drove a truck, my mother checked out groceries, and they were both homophobes.
I'm sorry that you went through that.
And I wish I had parents like Lindsay Lohan. Dina and Michael are doing their very best, and they're treated like dirt, and they're talked about like they're a couple of freaks in a circus.
Well, I happen to think they are.
Oh, no, I know you do. I know you do. I don't think there's an abomination that you haven't sunk to when it comes to defining other people, Phil.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, that's fine, but I happen to think they are a couple of freaks in a circus. I happen to think that those two people are eminently responsible for that young woman's problems. Here is Ellen in Los Angeles listening on KTLK. Go ahead, Ellen.
I think Doug is a moron and emblematic of what's wrong with this country, full of celebrity worshippers. And I'm curious and very confused about whether he's a gay man or a gay journalist. I just haven't understood that at all.
I'm both. Maybe you don't listen very well. I said I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Really? Why is that? Because
that's what's wrong with the country is worshiping celebrity like there's some kind of royalty. I understand that you're a gay man and a gay journalist, although you better tell me about 20 more times please. I can't even understand.
A minute ago you said you were confused about that.
Write anything. What an idiot. I'll take
this woman is a bisexual actress. You're aware that she's a bisexual actress. Are you aware of that? Are you aware of that? That Lindsay Lohan is a bisexual actress. Hello? Why, the dirty, that lousy chicken.
Hold on for a minute. Ellen, are you gone? We probably lost her in a some sort of a blip. 877-876-PHIL.
That lousy chicken.
Hold on for a minute, man. I don't know whether her phone went out or what happened.
That woman, she wanted to get in her homophobe shots and then go on her merry way.
877-876-PHIL, Phil Hendry Show. Here is Tom in Topeka, Kansas. Go ahead, Tom. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Doug Danger.
Hey, how's it going? I just wanted to tell him, Doug, that he needs to wake up. He obviously is not a quality journalist if he has to spend all this time, putting out to the world that he's gay. I mean, that's not the issue.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist is what I said.
But you're not understanding what Phil's trying to get at. He's trying to explain to you about Lindsay Lohan and people like her and Charlie Sheen. They do get special treatment. I mean, you need to wake up and smell the coffee here.
You know something, sir? I've been working in the field of entertainment journalism for a long time. I've been around these people. When you tell me from Topeka, Kansas, that I got to wake up and smell the coffee, I've seen these people.
So have I. Hold on. So have I. I've been in this town for a long time. I grew up here. And they do get special treatment. And they do stand in front of a judge and get a slap on the wrist. And they do get and you're telling me they can't afford really good lawyers?
Oh, well, excuse me. What are they supposed to do with their money then? Give it away?
Well, the fact of the matter is, if you can run out and hire like this guy, Mel Gibson, he went out and got the very best drunk driver lawyer you can find in this Blair Burke or whatever her name is, and she all of a sudden gets this thing. That's the last we hear about it.
Hey, Blair Burke is a damn good lawyer, and if you can afford her, good for you. And let me ask this guy here, Tom. If you got arrested, sir, for something, wouldn't you want the best lawyer you could find? Now, let's say you got arrested, and I'm not saying you would ever do this in a million years, but let's just say you got arrested for touching some little kid. You'd want to get a good lawyer, and that lawyer would get you off. Next thing you know, people would say, Tom got special treatment. No, you didn't. You just got a good lawyer.
Oh, get out of here. Fact of the matter is that what Lindsay Lohan's going through, she's been going through this for a long time. She's like I said, in and out of court, no real significant jail time.
Yeah, but Tom ain't saying nothing because I got him convinced.
No, you don't.
I won the argument while you're...
Well, Phil?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just want to tell you, I can prove him wrong because I've been in law enforcement and corrections for the last 25 years, and I see how people who get arrested who are in the public eye, whether they're they're actors, whether they're politicians, they do get special treatment. I've seen it firsthand, and Doug's not going to be able to convince me otherwise.
How about that, huh?
What do you mean they get special treatment? Why? Because you guys ask them for an autograph while you're booking them? Is that what you're talking about?
No, it's not that. It's because of the money and the stature that they have, and because of the people who they know that they'll get right on the phone and make that call because money coats the
one
palm
phone
of everybody.
Well, of course. I mean, if a guy's got money, if a guy is a millionaire, would you begrudge Bill Gates if he said, "Oh, you got me. I got to call my lawyer." I mean, you guys talk like a conservative, Mr. Henry, but you sound like a liberal because you don't think people who've got money should be allowed to call their lawyer.
I'm telling you, I'm not talking about lawyers necessarily. I'm talking about judges and what those lawyers suddenly buy. They suddenly buy. They don't buy the blind image of justice that we've learned as kids. The image of justice with the blindfold across their eyes, that everybody is equal in front of the law. They don't buy that at all. What they get is this judge who sees the celebrity, the judge who sees all those movies and sees all those charity events that you're talking about. A judge who is not blind to the person's stature in life and therefore gives them special treatment.
Hold on for just a minute. Yay! You feel good? You feel good? You made a nice speech there. I'm sure Tom's impressed.
Let me ask you a question, as long as Tom's on the line. Who's better? Who's more valuable to society? Lindsay Lohan or Tom as a police officer?
I say this with all respect to Tom. Lindsay Lohan's got to win that, hands down. Because though Tom is a cop, well, what are you laughing at? If Tom's a cop, is anybody going to line up around the block to watch him do his work?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
You ever heard of Cops, the TV show?
Oh, get out of here.
No, have you ever heard of Cops, the TV show? That thing's been on for 15 years. You better believe people will line up and watch it.
Well, you know what I'm talking about. You know, he doesn't know what I'm talking about. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And I got that one figured out.
Yeah.
You know, Phil, it's just...
Yes, sir.
And that fits right into this category. When they're not responsible for behavior and not held accountable, and they don't get special treatment, or what they're doing is condoning the behavior, you know, and they're not showing how, you know, the justice system is... You know,
no, that's a good point. I tell you what, Tom, I want to do something for you, man, for Valentine's Day. I'd like you to hang on the line. I'm going to give you a $50 gift certificate, man, courtesy of our sponsor, Profilers.com, so you can get that special someone a fantastic Valentine's Day gift, or maybe you're getting something else. How about that, brother, okay?
All right, thanks, buddy.
All right, hang on, man. Valentine's Day is Monday, so I'd like all of you guys to go over to Profilers.com. You hang on the line there. Who's that, Tom? Yeah, Tom. Valentine's Day is Monday, so go to proflowers.com, click on the microphone in the top right-hand corner of the screen, and type in the name Hendry, H-E-N-D-R-I-E, and you'll get access to some exclusive deals for all of you guys, my listeners. So don't wait until the last minute for your Valentine's Day orders. Go to proflowers.com. That was a commercial there.
Phil, the point that I'm trying to make, Phil, and I'm not disrespecting Tom, the police officer, and I appreciate what he does for us, but you know and I know, that at the end of the day, when the chips are down, and you gotta make a call, who do I keep and who do I let go? I gotta keep Lindsay Lohan. I gotta tell Tom to go on down the road.
And why do you gotta keep Lindsay Lohan?
Because she's gonna be worth more to me as a movie star and a TV as an actor, and what the actor do. Okay.
What the actor do?
Well, you just belched.
No, I did not belch.
I just heard you do that. So what's that about?
What do you mean, what's fun about?
You're making fun of the way I'm talking, all right? I come from the South, and sometimes I slip back into a little bit of that dialogue. I said what the actor does. I didn't mean to say what the actor do.
Okay, fine. 877.
Well, don't go okay, fine, like I'm some kind of a retard.
And we don't use that, you know, wow, boy, man, I don't like using that word any more than, you know, any average liberal would, but you just used it.
Excuse me, I wasn't talking about a real retard. Okay.
You just keep right on firing that with that word, don't you? 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Michael in Jackson, Mississippi. Go ahead, Michael. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi. How you doing?
Yes, sir. Very good.
I'd like to talk to Doug about this the whole Lindsay Lohan thing, maybe trying to get his point out of him. Why exactly is Lindsay Lohan more important than any other working class citizen? What has she done to help everybody else in the world? What has she done to enrich my life? What has she done to enrich your life?
Well, a lot of what we've all done as the average man and woman, we've tried and we've worked very hard at trying to develop as much as we can so the tax base is big enough and we send more money back to Washington. But we just don't, we ain't getting it done. You know, somebody like Lindsay Lohan goes to work and she generates enough income to send a significant tax dollar back to Washington. You and me, as hard as we work, and as good a man as I'm sure you are, Michael, you and I, at the end of the day, it's just not getting it done. You know, we should have stayed home and stayed in bed for all the good we're doing.
What does that mean, man? So,
what do you mean, what does that mean? What do I got to explain to you?
Go ahead, Michael.
You not calling, it's okay if you don't call me man.
Just do it. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I'm just telling it like it is.
Right. I understand that you're a gay journalist. If Lindsay Lohan does generate so much income, then why do you expect her to not have some kind of stress in her life and not go to court and pay dues when she's committed crimes, first off? Secondly, how hard is she really working? When's the last time you saw a Lindsay Lohan movie come out and break the box office on a toilet?
Lindsay Lohan
is not famous because she's a good actor. Lindsay Lohan is famous because she's always in court and always getting in trouble.
Lindsay Lohan, well, I beg to differ. Herbie Fully Loaded, which is a child's movie. It's a Disney movie. She's just in Machete, the Danny Trejo movie. She's in demand, and she's in such demand that these studios are hiring her, and it's not cheap, and they've got the security people with it. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I've seen these security people, and I was at the courtroom today.
See, right there, you don't mind me interrupting, you were at the courtroom today, you're talking about Lindsay, and you said, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I was at the courtroom today.
That's right.
What has that got to do with you being at the courtroom?
That's what I'd like to know. Why do you keep bringing up the point that you are a gay man and a gay journalist? It sounds to me like you are the one with homophobia. You're accusing everyone else of being homophobic, but you're the one that just happened to bring this up and reassure yourself. What? We've understood that.
Why would I be homophobic if I'm a gay man and a gay journalist? How does that make me homophobic?
I don't know. I would think you could accept it without having to say it out loud.
I do accept it, and I accept the fact that Lindsay Lohan is being singled out for this kind of treatment in part because she's, and I'm going to use the word that they use, because she's a queer. Yes, because she's bisexual.
What a word, man.
Oh, well, you listen, you conservatives use it all the time.
No, I do not. No, I did. You can't tell me, and you will never be able to tell me what it is I do in my life. I know what I do, and I don't use that word.
Well, you know that that's what a lot of your listeners are thinking.
No, that's not. My listeners right now are thinking what a nut you are. And you're talking about being a gay man and a gay journalist, and I accept the fact you were down at the courthouse, and you saw all the people that were surrounding her, and you saw all the money that the studios put out, and then you blow the whole thing apart by saying, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Because you're a homophobe, and you can't take, you don't like getting any directions from queers. You know something, Phil, you call your show, Radio for Patriots by Patriots. Do you think it's patriotic to be homophobic?
I'm not homophobic, man. I haven't heard anybody call this show who's a homophobe. I haven't heard anybody be outrageously homophobic. Thank you very much for your call, sir. I haven't heard any of that. The only person who keeps bringing it up is you. We're talking about the dichotomy of treatment between the haves and the have-nots, specifically the celebrity in our world that we see paraded in front of us over and over and over again with every kind of unacceptable violation of decency and law. And the next thing you know, they're out walking the street, man. They're back on the job. 877-876-PHIL. This is Radio for Patriots by Patriots. Next hour, Don Mixa, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. As we continue to make sense of a world that is increasingly in the hands of the entitled, but those entitled who don't do all of the work. At least that's the way we're reading the Lindsay Lohan situation, as well as the Charlie Sheen situation. Doug Danger, who is a entertainment writer of the Orange County Courier, has joined us.
What you said right there, Phil, if I could interrupt, you just basically said that Lindsay Lohan doesn't work and neither does Charlie Sheen.
No, I didn't. I didn't say that. I said that.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Now, you've got to be fair. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm honest about that. And
yes, you're honest about being gay to the tune of 50 million times this hour.
All right. But be honest. You said those people don't do as much work. Okay?
All right. I misspoke.
Oh, you misspoke. Charlie Sheen and Lindsay Lohan do more work than the average person. I'm sorry, Phil. I had to do that, but I've got a really bad stomach.
And you were the one that was talking to me about belching. And let me just tell you something that may help both of us. Dynapep, okay?
What?
Dynapep. Dynapep is a micro-energy shot. And I don't know whether that'll actually help us digest our food, but I thought it was a nice segue. Dynapep, a micro-energy shot that I've used, guys, from time to time on this show because I do a late-night show. And it is a show that sometimes can be, wearying toward the later hours. So I take my little Dynapep shot. It is 4 milliliters, no sugar, no crash, no jitters, 2 calories, and that's it. The Dynapep micro shot gets you through the night, focused and alert, and keeps you going when you've been up all night. Dynapep lasts up to 10 hours with 10 times the power. Check it out, the micro energy shot, Dynapep. Go to Dynapep.com right now and learn more about Dynapep. And like I said, it's a semi-regular feature on this show. I'll bring my Dynapep in tomorrow and show everybody the box. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. Doug Danger with us from the Orange County Courier. Dulani in Indianapolis, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Doug, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
What does your sexual preference and your job have to do with the fact that Lindsay Lohan is skating all around the laws that are set in place in this country? Last I checked, I'm a master mason, but that has nothing to do with it. Last I checked, were set in this nation. The Constitution did not say those who entertain us in our country, they're put under separate rules. And I have a problem with you saying they are better than, say, me. I'm 28. I'll be 29 July 1st. When I was born, okay. I couldn't talk until the age of three. I graduated high school 2001. I went to college between 01 and 06. Doctors told my mom I'd be dead in 24 hours or a vegetable for the rest of my life. I'm a semester and some change off my bachelor's degree. I know in the last four or five Super Bowls, personal friends who have played in them, over 10 people in the NFL, so on and so forth. I'm not coming on here saying, Doug, you're less than a person because you don't know who I know or you haven't done what I've done. You're saying that Lindsay Lohan...
No, I'd say all the things you've been through, that makes you almost equal to Lindsay Lohan. I wouldn't say that about anybody else.
Almost equal?
Yeah. I'm saying as a gay man, as a gay journalist.
No,
get out of here.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah, no. You know what, Doug, we're going to take a break, and I think... Absolutely. Dynapep, by the way, is a proud sponsor of the Phil Henry Show. I hope they're a proud sponsor. Thanks very much, Delani. Thank you, Doug. Don Mixa, next hour on the show that is for Patriots, by Phil Patriots, Phil Henry Show.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
In this month of African American history, where we're trying to celebrate what is good.
I thought it was shocking that a teacher would say that, because why would you be a teacher?
Now, when you gut the EPA's ability.
The school does not teach Christianity.
That's just the way it is.
World famous Phil Henry Show, a show for patriots by patriots, radio. At its very best, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. We take this to the Looking Glass and beyond, places other talk shows wish they could go. We are a patriot conservative show. We are not a Tea Party conservative show so much as we are a patriot conservative show, although we are in line with whatever is best for our country, and we happen to feel that that is... the Patriot View. You know, what we mean on this show by that is simply this, you know, unless you're willing, and I hope, God forbid this ever be necessary. God forbid it ever be necessary. But unless you are willing to view your country the way you view your family, you would give your life for your family. Well, you should give your life for your country, too, if it comes down to that. We don't just ask a certain select few number of men under the age of whatnot who are in prime physical condition. You go out and you're the ones that sacrifice your life for your country. Every single solitary person that calls himself an American should be willing to do that. Otherwise, I don't really think that we qualify. And, of course, anyone can call themselves, as you and I know, anyone can call themselves an American because you only have to be born here now. Even if your parents are here illegally, you are born here, you're an American. Well, I think that just in my mind, and maybe only in my mind, it's a little something more. It takes a little living. It takes a little appreciation of where we are and who we are, a little appreciation of history of this place called America to understand what it really is to be an American. And I think we've distilled it on this show as patriot conservatives willing to give your life. A school district in Texas backs away from a mandatory Arabic studies course. A mandatory Arabic studies course after parents grew furious. And joining us this hour will be Professor Don Mixa from the University of Washington, who happens to think that these kinds of diverse educational programs are good. We'll talk to Professor Mixa about that. And our Patriot affiliates tonight in San Diego, one of the greats, KFMB 760 AM. In Roanoke, Virginia, WFJX 910 AM. And, of course, the Phil Henry website, philhenryshow.com, where you can get our best of CDs, our shot glasses, our blog, our video cast, all of the archives, all of the podcasts available there at philhenryshow.com. And, again, our Patriot line is 877-876-PHIL. It's 877-876-PHIL. Let's get Don Mixa up on the line now from Seattle, Washington tonight. Don, how are you?
I'm very good, Phil. Thank you for having me on.
And Mansfield School District is in Mansfield, Texas. And I'd like to play just a little bit of audio here before we get into a conversation with Don. This having to do, as I mentioned to you, with the Mansfield School District having plans originally for an Arabic studies program after 200 parents showed up with questions at a meeting at Cross Timbers Intermediate School on Monday night. They decided that they would back off of plans for that. In interviews with KHOU Television and CBS Dallas, parents expressed their anger at this program.
The school does not teach Christianity, so I don't want them teaching the Islam.
And she had learned Spanish when she was in elementary school, and now they want her to learn Arabic.
It's them applying for the grant and getting it approved, and now saying they're going to be able to go back and change it only after they were caught trying to implement this plan without any of the parents knowing about it.
Don, this is a program that, again, that these parents say they didn't know about, and it's a program that would have implemented, mandatory Arabic studies that might have included, I think, mandatory language. I don't know. You've been involved in some of these things since I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, since 9/11. There seems to have been, and I mentioned this on a show last night, there seems to have been more and more. The emphasis on the understanding of Islamic culture or Arabic culture, and so forth, which is not a bad thing necessarily, but when it becomes mandatory.
Well, the idea of mandatory, Phil, was that as you mentioned, on September the 11th, 2001, we entered a new world. This country entered a new world in which we had to deal with the reality that we had some people very upset with us. Why were they upset with us? Well, that's part that we have to figure out. And we want to know what could we have done differently? What could we have done that might have not led to this disaster on September the 11th? So myself and along with other educators across the country, we had a national CONFAP conference. That was CONFAP 1 in Denver, and that was 2003. We had another one in 2006. And began to implement ideas whereby we would at least try and bring into the lower level grades, elementary school grades, programs that would teach the young people coming up how to be more in tune with the Muslim culture, Arabic culture, and so forth and so forth and so on and so forth, so that we were not as offensive in some ways. We understood the Quran, understood this religion, so on and so forth. And that was the thinking of that. And then what happened was we made it mandatory, and we wanted to get it rolling. And one of the things that happened was the parents were not told, and they were not told for a reason. The reason why they're not told is because we want to get the program established, and then we want to get the program rolling so that there is a... their roots have sunk, and then after about, 3 or 4 months, then you let it out that the program is happening.
Then you let it out that the program's happening. This is a very interesting program, Don. On the one, first of all, what you've got is mandatory Arabic studies.
When you say mandatory Arabic studies, it's program. It's like it's arithmetic mandatory. Yes, it is.
No, I understand that arithmetic's mandatory. There's a reason for arithmetic,
Well, there's a reason for mandatory Arabic studies.
Well, let's talk about the reason for mandatory Arabic studies, and then we'll get into the whole idea that the parents weren't even told about this because, and let me, I want to be clear. Why didn't you tell the parents?
Well, first of all, I'm not in Texas, okay?
No, I know, but I mean, you've had experience with these programs. Why are these parents not told?
Well, the parents are not told, and before you, Phil, want to make this into a big deal, the parents are not told so that the program can at least sink some roots and get off the ground and get rolling. One of the problems we have with a lot of parents when we tell them that a program is now underway is that the parents will then come to the school or they will they'll make an action in front of the school board and so on, and they'll stop the program dead in its tracks before it even has a chance to get off the ground, and they don't have any information. Most of the time, the parents are not really working with good information. They're not educators. And, it's kind of like asking a horse jockey, how to put in the transmission on a, Porsche Carrera. I mean, it's two different things. So that's why we didn't
All right, so you don't tell the parents because you want to get the program off the ground. But what is the program? The program is this mandatory Arabic studies program. And the reason why this program, and this is something that I find fascinating, the reason this program is implemented is because we need to teach our kids what is it we did wrong that brought on 9/11.
Excuse me. Hold on for just a minute.
Well, isn't that what you said?
No. I said that after 9/11, we began to look at, well, what could we do? You know,
didn't you say that what can we do better so that something like this doesn't happen again?
I said, yes, that we need to have a better understanding of Arabic culture so that our young people, the kids today, don't face the same thing. And so,
what does this mean, man? Does this mean that we put bags on our women, and that I start to learn how to wear a tablecloth on my head? I mean, what does that mean?
No, it doesn't mean any of that, Phil. It means simply acting out of respect. There's an awful lot of disrespect of the Arab culture, and there's an awful lot of righteous anger in that culture as a result of the way the United States and the other countries are throwing their weight around over there. And the way to try and keep that from happening again is to begin to educate our kids that there are certain ways that you deal with Arabs and you don't do things that are, you know, that's going to, I mean, excuse me for saying, but you're not going to do anything that's going to piss off, you know, these old jokes, just never piss off an Arab, because the next thing you know, you're going to have this camel to deal with.
Well, let me ask you something. As a progressive liberal educator, what are that line supposed to mean? What is that joke, never piss off an Arab because then you got his camel to deal with?
It's a joke, actually, that was started by conservatives, if you want to know the actual truth, because it was...
Well, how do you know that?
Because it was started by British soldiers in the Middle East during the First World War, and these were very...
Why do you say those are conservatives?
Well, I don't know too many liberal progressive... No, they were conservatives, don't worry. They were soldiers. They were colonial soldiers in the Middle East, so they are conservative as it gets.
And I'm not even sure I understand the joke. What's that mean? Arabs are married to their camels?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
But I'll tell you, Don, this is the honest truth. I've never heard that joke before until you told me the joke, and you're a liberal.
Well, all right, but I can tell you that if I hadn't told you, one of your conservative friends would have. And the point that I'm trying to make here, if I can make the point, is that we can find a way not to, like I said, you know, not to piss off the Arab. And we won't have the same thing to deal with in another 20 years. So what kind of a world are we going to leave to our kids when we keep on, in a very ham-fisted, heavy-handed way, stumble our way through the world? And, you know, to use the crude joke, we keep pissing off the Arab until the camel decides to load up an airplane and fly it into a building, you know. So what I'm saying is, this is what...
All right, well, that's pretty much what I thought. I mean, that's pretty much what I heard you say. Let's teach our kids more about Arab culture, because it seems as if this is a very important thing to do. And by the way, don't tell the parents about it until we get it really up and running.
We don't want to tell the parents about it because it's a very... You don't understand, Phil, and I don't think your audience understands how difficult it is to implement a program like this. And then to have a group of parents come in a weekend, 2 weeks in, and just sort of walk into the classroom and start knocking over things, knocking down the desks, knocking down all the... It's almost like a group of... it's almost like a group of these skinheads coming in and smashing up an office where these parents come in and they see what we've done, the hard work the kids have done. And they come in and they start turning over desks.
Are you telling me literally?
No, not literally, but I mean this in a figurative sense. The parents come in like a group of skinheads that have no respect. And
these are parents, sir, that you're comparing to skinheads. These are parents that don't want to have to be surprised that their children are involved in a mandatory program having to do with Arabic studies. It's got nothing to do with reading, writing, arithmetic. It's got nothing to do with anything that we consider to be very mandatory for elementary grade kids or middle school kids, for that matter. And yet, I don't know anything about it until a few months in, because you guys want to let it sink down some roots.
That's the way I've been taught. The best way to get a program in place is to get it in place before the parents come barreling into the classroom and pushing everybody around and beating everybody up like a bunch of skinheads. So that's it. And I don't mean to use that.
That's a very unfortunate comparison, too. You know, but I got to tell you,
No, I don't mean it literally, but it's the best comparison I can come up with.
Well, it's a comparison again that I find to be so offensive. These are parents, and you're comparing them to skinheads? And they don't want to have to be surprised. Hey, guess what? What's that? Well, we're teaching your kids mandatory Arabic culture. Really? How come? Well, we need to be more understanding. Why? You know, this is a conversation I would like to have had before you guys implemented the program. Do you mind? We'll be back here with Don Mixa on this Arabic program in Texas that was implemented without the parents finding anything out about it. And why an Arabic program? Well, because we don't want to piss them off anymore. Our number is 877-876-7445. That is the Patriot Line, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Look at that.
What are you looking at?
Kim Kardashian.
Welcome back here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show, radio for patriots by patriots, and our number, our Patriot Line, is 877-876-7445. Talking here to Don Mixa from the University of Washington about the Mansfield School District backing away from an Arab program, an Arabic program, I should say, when the parents found out about it. Why don't you tell parents up front, Don?
Well, I like the way you pose that question to me. It's a very accusatory, Phil.
It is very accusatory because you told me you don't tell parents up front. Why not?
I think I answered that question.
Well, I don't think it's a good enough answer. Why don't you tell the parents up front?
Well, we don't tell the parents up front.
Why don't you tell people what you told me during the break?
Because they're not going to allow it.
They're not going to allow it, exactly.
That's right. That's right. We are educators. Let me explain something to you and your audience, if I could, for just a moment. We are educators. We have gone to school for this. And we deal with a lot of parents that are coming from fear. We deal with a lot of parents that are coming from a misunderstanding. We deal with a lot of parents who have not entered into this kind of world before. It is very strange. It's very new to them. A lot of them are very, very frightened of it. And you have to walk them very slowly through it. They're wide-eyed and frightened. You can almost see the sweat forming as they look around them at this whole new universe of education that we are showing them. And a lot of these parents don't have a lot of education themselves, so that when you introduce them into this world of education and knowledge and information, which is so important, they react in much the same way human being who has lived in a certain way for a long time. When you can talk about these primitive people, I'm not talking primitive, but they're frightened, they're wide-eyed. And so we know they're going to say no. So we try to get this program into place and then say to them, now the program is in place. How do you like me now? You know, unfortunately, I couldn't do that in Texas. And in Texas, they were stupid. If I had been running that program in Texas, I would have been a little bit quieter about it. But in Texas, this Mansfield group, they were stupid. They let the cat out of the bag. They let the cat out of the hat, or however you say it, and they let something out. These parents, as soon as they find out about it, like I say, they're like a mob of hungry refugees or something, you know.
877-876-7445. You know, you talk about parents like they're some Stone Age tribe.
No, I did not.
Yeah, you did. Well, they're wide-eyed and they're sweating and they're looking at a whole new world of education that they didn't know existed. David in Walnut Creek, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Don Mixa. Go ahead, please.
Okay, so you know what? I'm just going to make a plea of sanity here as a parent. Is that okay?
You can do anything you want, sir.
Okay, you know what? This guy is just completely ridiculous. He's just absolutely ridiculous, okay? There is no way. I mean, my plea of sanity is this.
Phil, and we talk about the Mansfield School District backing away from the Arabic program. Why do you not, as a liberal, admit, you know, you call yourself a progressive, right?
That's correct.
All right. And as a progressive,
you would understand the first thing you want to do is contact parents.
We cannot talk to these parents at this particular time. We cannot talk to parents because the parents are going to tell us no.
And if the parents tell you no, that's the end of that.
Well, that can't be the end of that because we know more about it than they do. You understand that, don't you? You understand?
Yeah, I understand. I understand that you understand that and that you believe that. But how can you say that a parent is going to accept that? How can you say that a parent is going to sit there and say, well, you know what? They know more than I do. I'm going to let them go ahead with this program. Even though it has to do with Arabic studies, these are middle school students, and they don't know a damn thing about this kind of thing.
I'll tell you why. Because we have learned that a wrong reaction is going to get us into a war. A wrong reaction is going to get us into more terrorist attacks. A wrong reaction is going to get us involved in a lot of things that we don't want to be involved in as a country. And if we can get our young people to at least understand the way the Arab does things from the standpoint of these new kinds of programs that we're implementing, you're going to see a country of people who are now going to stand before the Arab world and say, okay, what do you need? We are willing to start talking to you about it.
What do you need? To me, it sounds like one big fat program having to do with I'm too chicken to face evil. I think what I'm going to do is make it all about me, and I don't understand anything, and the more I understand, the more they're going to like me.
No, that's not what it's about. That's a typical kind of reactionary attitude.
No, that's exactly what I think it is, and that's why I say to you that the program, once the parents do find out about it, then they say they don't like it, and no wonder. 877-876-PHIL. It is the Patriot line here on Radio for Patriots by Patriots, 877-876-PHIL. That's right, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Will be back with your calls. As Don Mixa says, really, it's none of your business if we want to teach your kids Arabic. We're just going to go ahead and do it, and you have to accept the consequences.
Phil Henry. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-7445, the Patriot line here on Radio for Patriots by Patriots, the Phil Henry Show, as we talk to Don Mixa, professor of engineering, actually, University of Washington, about Arabic studies in these middle schools, mandatory Arabic studies, and the fact that parents were not told about it. Do you think you should be told about it? Especially if it's something having to do with a course of study that will make kids more aware of what we need to do to keep from getting attacked again.
I don't think I put it that way, Phil.
Well, yeah, you did. You said that we need to not piss off Arabs, otherwise we got the camel to deal with. Remember when you said that?
That's an old joke. That is a colonial British wartime joke, okay?
Yeah, I know it's an old joke, but and it's a funny joke coming from a guy who believes in inclusive, progressive study. But the fact is, we're teaching kids about Arabic studies so we don't piss off the terrorists anymore. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Joe in Clearwater. Go ahead, Joe. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, Phil. First-time listener, and I'm just sitting here listening. And I'd like to emanate the fact that I'm going to use this guy's terminology. This guy's pissing me off. I've got little children being prepared in grammar school now, headed to middle school, and I certainly want to know what my children are going to learn in school, and I have that right as a patriotic American.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying you don't have that right. You just don't have the right immediately.
Yes, that's the American way, sir. You're preaching to the wrong nation. Perhaps you should go over to the Arabic nation.
I happen to be an American.
Who want to kill us. Not to fly airplanes and kill 3,000 Americans here on our soil.
Absolutely.
Perhaps
absolutely.
You
You're absolutely
them,
right.
Not to hate
You're right.
us.
You're right. But we also have to teach our own kids not to piss them off.
What do we have to teach their kids to piss
yeah.
off? You tell me. We don't cower down. We don't bow down. We don't kneel down to any other nation in this world.
Well, that's,
we are the strongest, the strongest
you're
country in the world.
To a little bit, you're listening to a little bit too much.
The terminology that you're using and the enforcement of an educational program that the parents are totally not aware of.
You were the one that started with this pissed off thing.
Well, I said, don't piss off the Arab. You'll have his camel to deal with. It was a joke. Okay.
You're going to have my camel to deal with. You continue to piss me off, because I'm going to tell you, Buster, my kids are going to have the right.
How am I pissing you off?
My children are taught in a public educational school system.
What about that?
I said the man has every right, but not right away, because what we want to do is get the program up and running.
Sir, you are very un-American. You're very unpatriotic. I don't know where you
come
from.
What are you talking about?
You know what? You should be investigated. Well, the university you're teaching
that's your answer.
Investigation.
That's your answer. That's your answer that I need to be investigated because I'm trying to get a program in place.
That is my
answer.
So that
your kids...
No, you're trying to get a program, sir, that's un-American, and you want to force it upon a school district without the parents' knowledge of what their children are learning in the classroom.
No, I said we would put it into the school district and then tell the parents because, especially Joe, talking to you, you sound a little hot under the collar. You're going to come right
into
the classroom.
I am hot under the collar. I'm going to use your terminology.
You're coming into the classroom. You're turning over waste paper baskets. You're throwing stuff around. And
I'm
going to
walk through a classroom and turn desks over and throw waste baskets around. Are you sometimes?
What does that mean? That's the stupidest thing.
I'm saying that in a figurative way. I mean it symbolically. I don't mean literally.
Well, what does that mean symbolically? What does that mean that parents are going to upset your very fine and careful program? Now, you started this whole thing, Don, by saying that we need to teach our kids about Arabic culture because we don't want to piss them off anymore, so they attack us. This is, you know something, you walked right into it, man, because this has always been my suspicion. From day one, it's never been about inclusiveness or diversity. It's been about a country cowering in the face of a new kind of violence that this generation is not used to, is not ready for, doesn't want to define, doesn't want to deal with.
Those are all very beautiful words, Mr. Henry, but we created a situation in this world whereby
we didn't create anything. These people were brought up under an idealistic, radical manner in which they wanted to kill infidels. That's us. We didn't ask them to come here. They have learned this since they were little children themselves. You're preaching to the choir here, sir. You belong in that nation.
Why
they need not to hate America or any other country.
When they put the twin they put the Twin Towers up there, that's going to piss anybody off, unless it didn't piss me off, because I'm an American, but...
What do you mean it's going to piss... What pissed them off?
The Twin Towers.
Pissed them off? Why?
Why? Because you got two big Twin Towers saying, look at all the business we're doing, hope you're enjoying eating sand.
Oh, get out of here, will you? Eating sand, huh? You know what? The money that we've laid on Saudi Arabia for oil and the other countries of the world in terms of the resources... Eating sand. Those cats are over here, man, buying racehorses, golf courses, you name it.
And sold by conservatives and the neocons that have made the Saudis rich. George Bush and his connection to them.
Oh, here we go, man. You know, I'm not going to argue that bullcrap with you, but I will say that you're the one that admitted it. You said that these Arabic programs are in these schools so that we can learn not to piss off terrorists. Thank you very much, Joe, for your call. All right, I'm sorry, I just got to move on. 877-876-7445, the Patriot line here on the Phil Hendry Show with Don Mixa. Here is Chuck in Apple Valley, California. Go ahead, Chuck.
Thank you. Yes, sir. I'd like to ask you a question. Have you ever read their Quran?
Is the gentleman talking to me?
Yes, have you read their Quran?
I've read parts of it. Yes, I have.
You haven't read the whole book?
I have not read the entire Quran, although I believe I've read the relevant sections.
Have you ever read their hadiths?
Well, what is the point of the gentleman's call? What do you want to say?
The reason I'm calling you is that...
Have you read the Bhagavad Gita? Have you read the Mahabharata?
Yes. And
you
haven't
read the Mahabharata?
It's all in violence.
The Mahabharata is the longest book in the world, so I doubt very seriously whether you've read that.
It's a book of violence. Okay.
The Mahabharata is the longest book in the world.
All right, let's get to the point here.
I'm trying to get to the point. He's talking to me about the Bhagavad Gita.
No, he's talking about the Quran. Have you read it? No, you have not.
I said I read the Have you read the Bible?
I'm reading it.
Okay, well, why don't we all get together and have a...
Can you let me finish,
some kind of a daisy chain? What's that?
Can you let me finish and make my point?
Well, go ahead. You were asking me questions. Okay. It sounds like we're putting some kind of a late-night daisy chain together here.
Will you watch your language, if you don't mind?
So I'm trying to make a very important statement here. A lot of people don't realize that the Arabs are trying to conform to their ways. Okay?
Oh, that's paranoia. In England,
there is no free zones. And that means that if you're not an Arab or if you're not a Muslim, you cannot walk in those neighborhoods. Would you want to be in a neighborhood like that in our country where you don't have the freedom to go where you want to?
I don't know why it would be that I'd want to go anywhere, sir, that I'm not wanted.
Wait. Hold on for a minute. That's not what the man asked. In this country, we can travel any damn place we want.
Would you go into South Central L.A.?
The fact that I might not go to South Central L.A. at this hour has got nothing to do with law. The law says I can. The law says I could go down there and get money out of an ATM.
But would you?
It doesn't make any difference. The law says that I can, and what Chuck is saying is laws are being implemented where you can't walk into these neighborhoods.
Well, I don't know about what his background is. He was talking about sitting around and reading the Quran, which I think is a very unusual pursuit, let's put it that way.
It's a hateful book. It's a hateful book that attacks Christians and Jews. Okay? They're violent.
The fact of the matter is that is an ignorant point of view. That's exactly why we have to teach our children, because, Chuck, you have just said something that means I've got to go back to that school now and get these Arabic studies implemented because of what you just said.
Why?
Because of his big mouth. Yeah, because of his big mouth. Now I have to go and get kids educated because I know that he's going to tell them that it's violent.
This was all about parents and what parents have control over and what they don't have control over. And it sounds to me, Don, like you want to have control over the education of these kids and not the parents.
I want the parent. Are you a parent, Chuck?
I'm still here.
Are you a parent? Do you have kids?
No, but I work with kids.
Okay, that's it. Thank God.
Thank God, huh?
Yeah.
You ought to hear the scary things that I hear the kids say. They can't talk about scary things the kids say.
What about the scary stuff you're saying?
I don't like the idea
of this guy being around children.
All right, Chuck, I got to take another phone call. I appreciate it, though. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Jordan in Peoria, Illinois. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Don Mixa. Go ahead, Jordan.
Hey, Don. I just had a quick point.
I'm good. How are you doing?
Not bad. My point is this. You know, you were saying that you want to get this off the ground before you even tell parents about it. But you know what?
We need to.
We're the ones paying the taxes and the tuition for our children to go to school. We have every right to know what's going on. We have every right to make the final decision of whether that gets implemented into the system or not. Not you.
The problem we've got, though, is the fact that we have probably a limited amount of time before the next. And I'm going to come right out and say it to you. We've got a limited amount of time before the next airplane comes into the next building. And we've got to get kids, you know, up to speed on how to talk to these people so they don't jump up and down and go wild and take over airplanes.
You
know, that sounds to me like you're dealing with, you know, you want to have sensitivity.
We want to do something, Mr. Hendry, that you and your neocon friends would never do, which is to have an understanding of culture. Now, these people are going to jump up and down and go wild on you if you don't give them money or whatever they need.
See, with all of your sensitive liberal ways, they're nothing but a bunch of monkeys jumping up and down and going wild and taking over airplanes.
I did not say monkey.
No, but that's about what you're doing, man. That's what you're doing. That's what you and a lot of liberals do. You talk about diversity and inclusiveness. Well, really, you're just talking about them like they're a bunch of wild apes that need to be tamed.
Well, let's tame them. You know, you're talking about teaching these kids to be respectful and everything. What you're really doing, you're teaching them to get down on their knees and bow to these people. You know what? We don't do that. If they don't like the way we do things in our own country, too bad. You know, I'm not too worried about what they're doing over there.
We're not asking to bow down, but we are saying if your daughter is in a Muslim home and they want her to put a, what do they call it? I don't know what it's called, but they put the burqa. If it's offensive to look at her, what do you expect her to do? Do you expect her to stand there and offend everyone there or put the burqa on?
Well, what I'm saying,
I know you may think your daughter's beautiful, and I may think she's beautiful, but if the Arab family that she's visiting, or the Muslim family, is offended and sickened by her...
That's not why she wears a burqa.
Yes, boy, you don't know any... If they get sick looking at her...
That's not why a woman wears a burqa if somebody gets sick looking at him.
You don't know anything about Arab culture, and this is the problem with our country. We got a bunch of ignoramuses that want to, you know, shoot the missile first and ask questions later.
The reason why women wear... It has to do with... it has to do with... And listen, Jordan, thanks so much for your call. It has to do with modesty.
You know, it does not. You know, it has to do, Phil, with...
It doesn't have to do with sickening people.
It has to do with having the respect of when you go into a whatever you want to call it, Arab or Muslim house, and the Muslims look at your girlfriend, and they literally get queasy. She's got to go into the bag. That's why they have it.
Well, I don't know anything about anybody, and I would, you know, I don't know anything about getting queasy. Everything that you're talking about has to do with backing up, being fearful, being frightened, not wanting to go here, not wanting to go there, not wanting to offend anybody. Don't tell me that this is about inclusion, and don't tell me this is about understanding. This is simply about being afraid of the wild animals over there, and you call yourself progressive.
Yeah, well, you call yourself conservative. Your solution to the problem, Mr. Hendry, is to simply turn the whole thing into a sheet of glass over there. Just turn all that sand into glass using a nuclear weapon or two, and I'm sure you'd be very proud of yourself destroying what's left of the world's fossil fuels. And I'm telling you that it is better to understand a country's culture, and that your wife or your girlfriend or any female in your family, if she sickens or nauseates the people that are looking at her, she's got to get into that bag, or whatever you call the burqa, or what they call BB, back into a burqa. And because they feel that everyone was born originally in a burqa, that is the Arab way. And
And I suppose I'd learn this if I would study up.
Yes, yeah, there you go. Ding, 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 ding. There. Give the man the prize. You would have known that had you studied.
I would have known that had I studied. And these children would learn about Arab culture. They'd know that too, huh?
Yes, they would.
They'd know about the fact that if they knew about Arab culture, they'd know that their girlfriend or their wife or their daughter, if they sicken or make the family they're visiting queasy, they BB.
Are you laughing?
Yeah, I'm laughing.
BB is back into the bag.
And that's a Muslim term, huh?
Yes, it is.
877-876-7445. That is our Patriot line tonight, as we hear that the Arabic, mandatory Arabic studies program in Texas that is being endorsed here by Professor Don Mixa is really about teaching our kids not to offend any more potential terrorists. How about that, folks? You want to take your kids and put them in school and make sure they learn the ways of Middle Eastern culture so they don't piss off any more terrorists. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
You never heard of BB.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, radio for patriots by patriots, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And with me is Don Mixa, who has been a friend and a longtime contributor to our program from the University of Washington. But, Don, you were a classic liberal. I don't think you would deny that. And what you are suggesting here, and this is all off of the Texas, Mansfield, Texas school district that had implemented a so-called Arabic studies program, including language, and backed off of it as soon as the parents found out about it. Now, you have said you try to hide these things from the parents.
Well, you've got to hide it from the parents.
Why?
Well, I've already told you why. I mean, I don't know how many different ways you want me to tell you why it is we have to hide these things from the parents, when the parents are the ones who are the individuals, more than anything else, who impede the very good work that a lot of teachers are doing, trying to get our kids to understand, you know, that if you don't understand certain areas of Arab culture, you're going to plant the seed of resentment that one day flowers into a ball of gasoline going up in flames, 50 floors up.
What a gruesome thing to say, and what an absolutely feckless and impotent thing to say.
Impotent?
Impotent. What an impotent way to respond to terrorism. You said a moment ago, I'd rather have a woman, quote, BB, back into a bag than face this thing head on.
You said once, if you're living in a culture, don't you learn the language? You want me to what? Stand there and let my wife sicken a family?
I don't know what you mean by sicken, and I don't think it's got anything to do with going into a burqa. Let me take a phone call, 877-876-7445. Here is Joyce in the Bronx, New York, listening on WWRL. Hello, Joyce.
Yes, good day. I have suggestions.
Hello.
I have two suggestions.
Yes,
At
ma'am.
First, I feel that the parents should have the right to vote on the sharing of different languages, cultures, and customs, and music, and art with any and all groups. And then they can plan to have special events around all of this. And then, secondly, then parents again should have the right to be able to vote on whether they want new languages and different language introduced to their children. And I think that's fair, because we live in a changing society. After all, I know that here in New York, we've learned Spanish and we learn French. And so, I mean, Spanish comes in handy here, but French, not so much as Spanish would be. I think that was fair, being that we live in a changing world. And that's a way of getting groups and stuff together. It works well. We've done it around African-American history, which I am African-American. We've done it around Spanish, Cuban. We spoke and talked about all those things and sharing culture. I grew up in mixed neighborhoods back after the Second World War, and I really think it's a wonderful, healthy way to do it, but not to keep it from parents, because I used to be a family worker. You don't do that.
You gotta at least let the parents decide.
I was with Joyce. I tell you, Joyce, this is Don Mix. I was with you all the way, Joyce. I was with you all the way until you said what you said, which was parents voting on it. I wish I could get you to understand that. Do you remember the poor lady that was attacked by that chimpanzee in Connecticut? Do you remember that?
Yes, with her face.
You remember that?
Totally.
Can you imagine 100 of those chimpanzees descending on one or two teachers? It'll be horrible. That's what having to deal with.
Oh, come on. Will you quit making
you
these stupid comparisons?
That comparison for me.
That's
no
an
comparison.
Asinine.
Well, I...
No. I'm a former family worker, and I'm also education. And language. And that's not the way to go.
I am frightened to death. I don't want to have these teachers all of a sudden. It's like romper stomper, you know.
We get the skinhead thing. Yeah, exactly. Thank you very much, Joyce. Thank you very much, Joyce.
Phil,
you may have worked for the public school system, where?
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendrick.
Now, when you gut the EPA's ability to enforce the law,
people feel that this is not something that should happen.
In this month of African American history,
that's
where
really shocking that a teacher would say that, because why would you be?
Really beautiful feet.
Chicken crap.
You have really beautiful feet. World famous Phil Hendry Show, Radio 4, Patriots by Patriots, and welcome. Patriot Line every night, 877-876-7445. And we are Patriot conservatives on this radio program. And what does that mean? That means that above ideology comes country, and it also means that you're not an American unless you are willing to give your life for this great country. And the way we see that on this show is simply countries like family, and family you naturally would lay your life down for. Why not your own country? Why do we just ask professional military people? Naturally, they are the country's defense. But we should all be ready. We should all be ready to lay our lives down. world-famous Phil Hendry Show website is philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Head on over there and pick up one of our backstage passes. You'll see our live-streaming video of the show. On February the 21st, we begin installing our video studio. We are going to enhance the actual video capability, the, if you will, online TV presence of the Phil Hendry Show exponentially. We're going to have a professional presentation for our radio show as well as the show that you listen to. And with a backstage pass, you also get all of the archives going back years and years and years, thousands and thousands of hours, the largest online archive of a single radio show in the world. In the world. You also have the podcasts that are daily. You have the classic podcasts through iTunes, our news feed, our blogs. It's all there at philhendryshow.com. Pick it up. Great of you to be with us this evening as we continue Radio for Patriots and by Patriots. And Sheila Jackson Lee, who is a member of the United States Congress, who is, yes, a Democrat, came out against this Pepsi ad. And the thing, the reason why I'm bringing this Pepsi ad up is because I actually tweeted during the Super Bowl. And by the way, with me this hour is Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. Thanks for being with me, guys.
Yeah.
excuse me. I tweeted during the Super Bowl when I first saw this ad that this is the funniest ad I've seen, man.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
I said, this is the funniest ad that I've seen so far in the Super Bowl. It was really funny. It's this couple, and they're going through some, I don't know, I don't remember. A lot of it was really funny. There were a lot of sight gags, you know.
Yeah, a lot of that when he got kind of frozen in time a little bit there.
Yeah, hold on for a minute. Man, I got some allergy action happening now. What month is this?
It's February.
This is almost allergy month. All right, so the ad, a black woman sitting, and here's the part that they're focusing on. I mean, the ad, there's a big piece of the ad before what happens that's hysterical. And then when the woman throws the can and knocks the white chick off the bench, it's funny as hell. And when I saw the ad, the first thing I thought was, well, that's, I've never seen that before. First of all, the thing I'd never seen before was there was a black actor and a white actress, and the two of them were making sort of romantic eyes at each other. I thought, well, that's kind of refreshing. In other words, we don't really see race here. She's just a hot-looking chick, and he's a guy, and he did something that is making his girlfriend angry. He's making eyes at another girl. She happens to be a white girl. And I thought, that's something new. You know, one way to keep an audience happy is to show them something new. And so he smiles back at this chick. The wife gets angry. She whips her Pepsi can out, and she throws it at him. He ducks. The can hits the girl in the head. And she gets knocked off the bench, and the title of the ad is Love Hurts. So I was on, you know, Twitter there, you know.
You have out your iPhone and everything, right?
Yeah, I had my iPhone. I'm laying there on the couch. I'm watching the ball. And I go, that's the funny, because everybody, one of the cool things about this year's Super Bowl, I'm even more so than last year's, everybody was sort of doing the same thing. I was tweeting during the game, and it was kind of a little community going on of people observing plays, and they were looking at the different commercials, and it's like a big, Twitter's like a huge living room or something, you know?
Yeah, it's like everybody's watching the same TV show and stuff like that.
Right. It's like this big living room, and we're all sitting there, and we're going, oh, look at that, look at that, look at that. So, I thought it was really funny, but I knew somewhere, somehow, somebody was going to have a problem with it. I don't know why it didn't strike me right away, but you know, I watched that, and I thought, that's really funny. And that's all that hit me. And I thought later on, why didn't I see this coming, that someone is going to get upset? Now, Greg Gutfeld from Red Eye tweeted something along the lines of, if that had been a black woman and the couple were white, what do you think would happen? So he immediately saw the sort of racial overtones there. That was about the only response I saw from a white person and also a conservative, you know. It never even entered my mind.
Well, I mean, you know, you call yourself conservative, man, but I think if you were a real conservative, you would probably want to, that would piss me off, you know.
Wait, hold on for a minute. Why would that piss you off if you were a conservative?
Because a white woman got hit.
What's that got to do with being a conservative?
Well, everybody knows, you know, that's about the white is conservative.
The white is conservative. All right, but I can tell you, I'm a conservative.
patriot conservative man, and it didn't bother me at all. Not until I saw Representative Sheila Jackson's story here. She got on the House floor today, Tuesday, technically yesterday. Or wait a minute, it's today Thursday now, technically? Let me take a look here because I'm, yes, it is. So yesterday was Wednesday. She got on the House floor on Tuesday, and that was Tuesday night, to criticize what she called a demeaning Pepsi ad that aired during the Super Bowl. And I'm telling you that this is, it's off the charts, this kind of stuff. It starts to grate on your nerves, man. You can't see anything unusual. You can't see any different approach. And I'm making a wild guess. I think Sheila Jackson Lee is all alone on this one.
You don't think other people agree with her?
I don't think a lot of people agree with her, no. In the ad for Pepsi Max, I told you, the black woman sitting on a park bench, boom, 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 gets hit with a can, love hurts. So here's Sheila Jackson Lee taking to the floor of the United States House of Representatives. And she's talking here about this ad.
Mr. Speaker, I have a sense of humor, and I believe in the First Amendment. And I truly believe that many Americans had a great time either participating at the Super Bowl or maybe fellowshipping with family members. That's why I'm so disappointed with the Pepsi advertisement that showed a demeaning role for African-American women.
Oh, come
on. An ad that showed a can being thrown and being utilized to wound someone else or hit someone else, and that individual fell to the ground.
That was a white woman that fell to the ground. You want to make this really about race? Let's talk about who she hit with a can. Now, you do not have a sense of humor, Madam Congresswoman. You do not have a good sense of humor. I got a great sense of humor. I'll tell you right now, you do not have a sense of humor. People who have great senses of humor, you're never afraid ever around them to tell a joke. Never. People with really great senses of humor, you're never afraid to tell a joke around them. Because here's what's going to happen. The least thing that could happen, the worst thing I should say that could happen, is they'll look at you and they won't laugh and they'll think you're a lame ass. But they're not going to jump up and down and go, oh, my goodness. So, no, you ain't got no sense of humor. Representative Jackson Lee continues her verbal assault on Pepsi, claiming there are many women offended by the ad.
In this month of African-American history, where we're trying to celebrate what is good and great, it certainly seems ridiculous that Pepsi would utilize this kind of humor. It was not humorous. It was demeaning. An African-American woman throwing something at an African-American male and winding up hitting a Caucasian woman. I think that we can come together in a much better way.
Frankly,
I consider this insulting, and so did many other women of all colors. It'd be great to have a lot more women in ads at the Super Bowl, great more women involved. But it also would be great to have a sense of balance that would respect individuals for who they are and how they contribute.
Well, that is a very humorless woman. That's Sheila Jackson Lee. She's got no sense of humor. She says she does. She says she likes all kinds of fun. Don't sound like it to me. She, in her world, would have no unpredictability. There would be no level of whimsy beyond the very obvious. There would be nothing dangerous in any of the humor in her world. Dangerous, when I say dangerous, what am I talking about? Ooh, a black woman threw a can and it hit a white woman. At one time, you know, folks, the man stood there in front of the Lincoln Memorial and he said that one day my children won't be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Now, I know, as a white man, I'm talking about Martin Luther King. It may not have resonance. I understand that. It may not have the same resonance, perhaps, if a black person were saying what I'm saying, quoting Dr. King. But he did say it. He said that the color of their skin won't matter anymore. It still matters, though, to Sheila Jackson Lee, to Phil Hendry, and I'm telling you the truth, you don't have to believe me, as I sat there on that couch, I thought, wow, this is great. She threw the can, she hit this white chick, the black guy and the white chick were looking at each other, and it's a revolutionary moment in advertising. There was absolutely no need to take into consideration any skin color at all. It was simply three actors playing a scene. Two happened to be black. One happened to be white. One got hit with a can, and the other one threw it. If you talk about seeing color, Sheila Jackson Lee, and I say this with all due respect, but I'm taking a guess. I think I'm right. Your world's nothing but color. Hey, you know, you're black, so that's what that's about. You know, that's probably a very, very significant part of your experience, and I will step back and I'll say, cool, I get it, and there are things that I don't understand that you do, Congresswoman, but fact is, Your world's all about color. I ain't going to be able to get away from it as long as you're around. Never. As long as you're around, I'm always going to have to think about color.
Like that movie, Color.
Right. Not that movie, Colors.
Yeah, remember that movie, Colors?
That ain't about that movie, Colors. Skin color, not the color of somebody's do-rag.
Color.
Yeah, that's big. Did you see Ice-T? Well, he was in it, too.
So what? I ain't even talking about that movie. So, Will, I'm sure, I hope we don't hear any more about this. I hope this is the last we hear about this story, because it was a really great ad, man. I hope I see the ad again. I really do. All right, the world-famous Phil Henry Show here on Patriot Radio. Radio for Patriots, by Patriots, 877-876-7445. The Patriot Line proposal would ban kids from buying all toy guns. Why? They might even be able to kill themselves with a toy gun. Who knows? We'll be back. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Famous Phil Henry Show.
What is this?
Color Man.
Yeah, this is it.
This is the theme from Colors?
Yeah.
Color.
Yeah, check it out, man. Take it easy. Color. So this is the movie. I saw the movie. Did you guys see the movie?
I didn't see it.
Man walking, psychopath talking. King of my jungle.
Well, that's Ice-T, so...
this song's great, bad colors.
Well, you cats never even saw the movie, so what are you talking about?
We saw it on our hands, so I want to get it.
You can go get the movie if you want.
Well, you saw it, though.
Yeah, I saw it. I mean, the movie came out in, like, 87, and it was Dennis Hopper directed. Was it 87 or 86? Something like that. And
Dennis Hopper, he's the man just died, right?
Dennis Hopper just died, yes. Dennis Hopper's a great director, and he directed Easy Rider. He did that movie, Colors, and it's a little dated now, but it still is a pretty powerful movie, and it has Sean Penn and Robert Duvall as two cops, and they play two Los Angeles crash, that's the name of the anti-gang unit.
Yeah, that's the Flying Crash Guys.
What's that mean?
They're just all hot stuff.
The Flying Crash Guys?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so it's about the L.A., these two police officers and their battle to contain these gang elements in South Central, as well as the warring factions. So they're dealing with not only the gangbangers that are committing crimes, but the potential war that's going to break out between the Crips and the Bloods. And anyway, there's also a love interest between Sean Penn's police character and Maria Conchita Alonso, who we interviewed on this show. Do you remember that?
Yeah, sure. From, like, Venezuela or something, right?
What was she?
What do you mean, what was she?
Well, you said you interviewed her.
She was on talking about Sean Penn or something. I forget. So, in any event, you guys still want to hear about this?
Yeah.
So, she's in it, and Sean Penn's like this hot... He thinks he's hot stuff. He thinks he's going to clean up the town. He thinks he's John Wayne. He's a young, hot cop. And Robert Duvall is the older and the experienced police officer. And so their travels and their journeys and their adventures in this life are explored. And then you also have the gang members themselves. Don Cheadle was in it.
Now, Don Cheadle, was he a gangbanger?
Well, what do you think?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Why? You're being all racist and everything.
What are you going to have a black man do?
Hey, wait, hold on, man. There were black officers. There were black police officers in the movie. Okay.
Yeah, but the two main guys are white.
Well, what do you want me to do, okay? Do you want me to, you know? I mean, I told you the movie's okay. So Don Cheadle, he plays one of these gang guys, and I forget who. Oh, Damon Wayans is in it.
What, he got a comedian in it?
Yeah, but Damon Wayans was pretty creepy. I thought he was very good. Don Cheadle, Damon Wayans, Cy Richardson, Glenn Plummer are some of the actors that played the gangbangers. And so I don't want to tell you how this thing winds up, but I'll just tell you that it's a very interesting treatment. And when the movie came out here in Los Angeles, they were afraid that there would be riots because the film did depict the two main rival gangs in Los Angeles at the time, which was this Blood Crips rivalry, you know.
Yeah, they're still around too, you know, but not the same way.
Well, I mean, the 80s was a violent, violent time in this city. Los Angeles was out of control in the 80s. The gang violence in this town was insane. And most of the homicides that were committed in Los Angeles during that time, as we found out, were gang-related. I mean, in the city of L.A. In 1980, I think had close to 2,000 homicides. That was an incredible number that I don't think we'll never see again. But that was mostly the gang war that was going on. And then all the stuff that was happening throughout the decade. And the other thing that was happening in L.A. were the freeway shootings. You guys don't remember those, do you?
Uh-uh.
That was nuts. That was nuts. You don't see those anymore. Mario Lopez was in this flick, which is the guy. I think he was in Hill Street Blues, Mario Lopez, in fact.
Yeah, he played a Hispanic gangbanger in Colors, and then he did a real stretch and played a Hispanic gangbanger in Hill Street Blues.
Yeah, that was a real stretch for him. So don't be a smartass, okay?
I'm just saying.
You can Saved by the Bell.
Saved by the Bell, yeah. So he was?
Yeah.
So anyway, make a long story. Yeah, these freeway shootings were happening. It's just an insane, crazy time in the history of Los Angeles, but it was gradually cooled out much by the efforts of law enforcement. The RICO standards started to be applied to some of these gangs. The community work that was done by a lot of people was starting to have some effect. The economy improved. We still have a gang problem. Any big city will. And gangs have been with us since the beginning of the country. And we've had particularly bad juvenile gang problems throughout the 20th century, all the way on up until now. But anyway, that's the movie. It's called Colors, and you guys played the music from it, so isn't that just something else? All right, do we have time? Probably just a couple of minutes here. Proposal would ban kids from buying all toy guns. Hi, buddy, I'm Phil Hendry, and welcome back to Patriot Conservative Radio here. Radio by conservatives for conservatives. Some state lawmakers are looking to shoot down toy gun sales. Why? Because you parents out there are letting your kids have toy guns. Who the hell do you think you are? New bills introduced would make it a crime to sell a toy gun to any child under the age of 18. A toy gun. Only adults should have toy guns. At Washington Middle School, there are posters around campus, and staff reminds each class every year not to bring toy guns to school. Still, kids learn the hard way, and early this school year, a student brought a toy gun to school. He showed his friend, who then pointed it at people. Both boys were suspended and will miss almost their entire eighth grade year for pointing a toy gun at people.
Well, what if it's real?
What if it's real? What if it's real? If it's real, then we got a real gun problem. Until then, we have a plastic problem is what we have.
Yeah.
You brought an illegal plastic thing to school. These are realistic-looking toy guns, said Michael Hirano, Washington Middle School principal. All right, I understand they're realistic-looking. What is the fear here? Students get caught every year, which is why he brought the idea to lawmakers. They get caught every year holding on to pieces of plastic that look like guns. Most of these students are buying these guns without their parents' knowledge because it's readily available to them, so legislation to prevent that will... Okay. In this case, the unidentified student bought the gun from the Hanraham Market right around the corner. It sells for $9. The box says the best for 18 and up, but that doesn't mean a minor legally can buy it. We're certainly not looking to restrict anybody's rights, but it's getting in the way of a child's education. I don't know, man. We're going to talk about this when we come back. These are toy guns. I want to talk about the whole toy gun culture because it freaks out a lot of parents even today. We'll be back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, radio for patriots by patriots.
Colors.
Phil Hendry.
Patriots, and this is a program whose ideology is patriot conservative. That is, individuals, conservatives that believe it their duty as Americans to lay their lives down for their country. And this is not some Jonestown. This isn't some suicide cult. We're just saying that any American really should be as strongly devoted to their country as that. And God forbid it should ever happen. And we say that just to sort of separate ourselves from some of the lightweights. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. I'm sure you probably know who I'm talking about. Certainly from any so-called liberal or progressive. These are individuals that would think what I'm saying is, well, they'd laugh at it, you know, because they're the only ones that really know the heart and the soul of the fighting man, the oppressed fighting man and woman for this country, and they've been over there for too long, and they're not making enough money, and, you know, they would have been home much, much sooner if half of these progressives and liberals had spent more time supporting them, arming them, strategizing with them, assisting in tactics and the operations that they were engaged in, than trying to actively stop them from completing their mission successfully. They're so afraid those people are going to complete their missions and actually win a war over there, they're gonna have to actually say the word win. They may actually have to say the word victory. God forbid we would have a victory parade for our troops when they come home from Iraq or Afghanistan. That would make the average liberal or progressive in this country, their heads would explode. You're going to do what? We're going to have a victory parade. Guess what? They kicked ass in Afghanistan and Iraq. But the quagmire that they like to talk about, boy, that nothing makes them happier. Nothing makes them happier. Anyway, we were talking about guns.
But not that kind of gun.
No, we weren't talking about that kind of gun. We were talking about toy guns being banned. I can understand if anything interrupts. I'm a big, big believer that the kids in school, the environment that they're in is to learn, and anything that interferes with that environment should not be allowed. I completely understand that. And I support schools in the effort to make sure that that environment is a good one. I support schools. When they say you can't have this and you can't have that, then you can't have this and you can't have that. Send your kid home and put him in another kind of shirt. You had a kid coming to school with George Bush is a war criminal. Take the shirt off. No, I got a First Amendment right. Well, you're disrupting the school. The shirt obviously is having a negative effect. Take it off. Go home. Put on another shirt. Now, this whole thing about guns in schools, forget about whether there's a plastic gun or a toy gun. Let me tell you what's going on, okay?
You know, I'm talking about people are afraid of them.
People are afraid of guns, like you were saying, Bud, like I was saying the other day. People think guns are magical.
Yeah, they think it's like a mojo.
Like some voodoo charm. They think if you have a gun around, why, there might be some sort of evil spirit that comes off of that gun and makes you do things. That's the way your average anti-gun person thinks of a gun. That is exactly how they think of a gun, and don't tell me that they don't. That's exactly how they think of it. Now, if you present it to them that way, of course they're going to be upset, and they're going to say that you're a jackass, and of course they're not that primitive. No, that's precisely the average anti-gun person's mentality. A gun is a magical, mystical thing that has evil spirits that will make you pick it up and put the barrel in your mouth and pull the trigger.
Or I'd make a kid pick it up and blow his head in two.
Blow his head in two?
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
That's pretty good, bud.
Thanks.
But yeah, you're absolutely right. So this is what's happened, folks. We have in our Constitution the right to bear arms. You know, as we said before, let me tell you something about constitutions, because I know all about our Constitution. Let me tell you something about our founding fathers. I know all about our founding fathers, man. Number one, a well-regulated militia, like we said on the air the other night, a militia is a group of citizens with guns. When they brought the militia out during the Revolution, what the hell do you think they, let's go get the militia, and they were a bunch of guys sitting in barracks waiting for someone to come and get them? Well, that's what the National Guard. Well, no, that's not what the militia was when the Constitution was written. And this is very important. I'm not necessarily a strict constructionalist like a lot of these people with nothing better to do than to sit around and throw around those highfalutin terms consider themselves to be. But I know the reality in the minds of the men and the women of the men. I was going to say women because
you're being politically correct.
Well, there might have been a woman or two in there.
Serving coffee.
Maybe bringing in coffee. I'm kidding. But anyway, in the minds of the men that were writing the Constitution, a militia was what it was, which is a group of citizens who have guns, and you say, Charlie, Eddie, Billy, come on, we got to go kick the ass of the British. Okay, you say, get those other guys too, and now we have a militia. You go into the barn, get your gun. You, I got mine. Okay, yeah, everybody got their guns? Yeah, let's go. All right, now we're a militia. A well-regulated militia being necessary, the right of the people to possess arms. Meaning, if we have to get a militia together, what's the first thing we need?
You've got to have a bunch of people with guns.
You got to have a bunch of people with guns. You got to be able to go and say, Ed, Joe, you guys, yeah, we all got it. Let's form a militia and go and shoot the British. All right, hey. Now we come to the present time. And we have gone through a lot when it comes to violence in America. But you know what? The beauty of this country, and one of the things that's stunningly evident, is that America has allowed so much that it's made us grow in ways that no other nation, no other culture, no other society could possibly grow. We've found our way to things that no other country would find its way to because we allow discourse and activity in such a way so as to allow us to find these things. We talk about the homeless. We talk about people with one leg. We talk about things like what is beauty, what isn't beauty. We agonize over who we should let into the Miss America contest. We agonize over what's black, what's white. Are you mixed race? Are you? We talk about all kinds of things. And we talk about, what is the right to bear arms? What is a gun? What can guns do? What? Now, one of the things we have done is we have vilified the weapon owner to the point now where people who are opposed to guns are frightened that the gun is going to make them do something they don't want to do. Now, that's just absolutely asinine. And the thing that I would propose, okay?
Yeah, I mean, I always got a complaint, but you have a good proposition. I want to hear this.
All right, well, I have a solution. And I don't think this is bad at all. I think this is absolutely... Forget about whether you want to teach them Arabic. Forget about whether we're going to teach, you know, the Quran. I understand these things are... You know what we ought to be teaching young people? Because we have a serious problem. We are treating guns as if it's just... You might as well be smallpox. You look, oh, what the hell is that? It's a gun. Well, you get that thing out of here. I mean, really? How many times have you seen people do that?
There are a lot of people afraid that way.
Yeah. We should have in our schools, at the high school level, gun training. Now, I know right now, I know I can hear it right now. Oh!
Yeah, there are a lot of people.
I can, right now, I could just almost hear it psychically. I said, we should have gun training at the high school level. Oh! We should have classes in weapons, guns, targeting, target practice, cleaning the weapon, how to handle the weapon, safety. We need to demystify this, folks. We need to demystify the entire concept, the entire subject of guns. My God, we're afraid to talk about them. We don't talk about them because even talking about guns... I brought up the subject of toy guns. This is a funny thing. I brought up the subject of toy guns on Facebook. You remember that Sunday?
Yeah, all those ladies were calling, were like weighing in and telling you were bad.
I couldn't believe it, man. I brought up something having to do with toy guns on Facebook one day, and I had about five or six women, one after the other, just, oh my God, they were shocked. They couldn't believe that I would even talk about children having toy guns. Like, for instance, a little boy with the, what do you call it, man? Like the two, you know, six shooters?
Yeah, he's a cowboy.
Yeah, like the cowboy guns. And I said, oh, you know, a little kid, you know, little boys, they like to play with them. Oh, well, not my boy. I mean, as if, do you honestly believe some of these women, I would love to ask them, and fathers too, do you really honestly believe that keeping your children away from such toys somehow prepares them for life? What are you preparing them for? Not to ever, ever, ever own a gun? All right. And therefore what? You would rather see them die at the hands of an individual intruding either into their homes or their businesses or, God forbid, just out on a street some night. You'd rather see them drop to their knees and then bleed into the street than know anything about weapons or defending themselves with a gun. You'd rather see that. Is that what you're telling me? And to which they would respond, Mr. Hendry, what we need are less guns. Well, that's fine. I understand that you have a worldview here, but I want to know specifically, how's this helping your kid? I believe the time has come for us to have weapons training, not weapons training like in the military, but gun safety, gun use at a very elementary level, familiarity with a weapon. What is it? What makes the gun fire? This is, ladies and gentlemen, is there an implement more used in our society or in the world today that we know less about? I'm going to say this again. Is there an invention, any kind of invention at all, in the world today that we know that is more widely used and that we know less about than the gun? No. I'll give you the answer.
Well, what about like fireplaces or something like that?
What? What are you talking about, bud? Fireplaces?
Well,
yeah, I know. I see the call, man. Okay, I got it. I got it. We're going to take a break right now. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This that guy's some kind of an idiot.
Yeah, it looks like...
Hey, bud, don't tell me we got a phone call, okay?
Well, I just wanted you to know.
I know. I can see it, all right? I'm trying to do a... I'm rapping about guns and stuff, and you're, like, tugging my sleeve.
Yeah, man, bothering about that. I'll show him this.
That... I don't know, but what is that, like, some gay magazine?
That ain't no gay magazine. That's a congressman.
You're kidding.
No, that's New York Representative Chris Lee. And he resigned from the House Wednesday evening, effective immediately, an announcement that came just hours after a website reported that the married congressman had sent a shirtless image of himself to a woman he met on Craigslist. You got to be kidding me. Now, before we get into how dumb this guy is, let's get into how this is exploited by the liberals in Congress and the Senate. And the first thing they always say is, you guys that are family value guys, ... you know. Once again, you know, we're off on a wild goose chase, off to the races, talking about stuff that, you know, it's got nothing to do with anything. I don't mind people getting into the morality game. They want to do that. That's fine. That's great. You know, I'd rather not. I'd rather just talk about what the country needs in terms of policy and everything. But if they want to get off into this kick about, you know, family values, that's fine. God knows we need them. God knows we need them. God knows we want them. But if that's going to happen, you got to be squeaky clean, man. You really do. I got to ask anybody who is a conservative, if you believe in the family value message of the conservative movement, then you certainly understand that you have to reflect that at all times, because there's going to be someone somewhere with a camera, or someone somewhere is going to get a screenshot. You know this, right? Representative Chris Lee resigned from the House on Wednesday evening, effective immediately, an announcement that came just hours after a website reported that the married congressman had sent a shirtless image of himself to a woman he met on Craigslist. "I regret the harm that my actions have caused my family, my staff, and my constituents," Lee said in a statement announcing his resignation. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of good people that support guys like Representative Chris Lee. There's a lot of good people that support guys like Vitter. There's a lot of good people that support a lot of these guys, all right? This guy Larry Craig. There's a lot of good people that support a lot of good congressmen. And when you turn around and you pull... Mark Foley is another one. And when you turn around and you pull some stunt like this, you're making people look real bad, man. Real bad. "My staff and my constituents... I deeply and sincerely apologize to them all. I've made profound mistakes. I promise to work as hard as I can to seek their forgiveness." Lee's decision to vacate his upstate New York seat came after Gawker, a gossip website, posted the shirtless image. And I'm going to show it to you on our video cast. And that ain't no fake image.
You kidding me? That would say somebody hacked his account or something.
Nobody hacked his account. That's the same guy. Check it out, folks. We have it on our video cast right now. He's a very handsome guy.
Yeah.
Very, very good look. I'm just kidding. No, he's...
Well, what are y'all, hot for him?
No, I'm not hot for him. Shut up. But he's an attractive guy. How old is this guy?
I think he's like 40, or he's either 40 or 30.
Well, what does that mean, either 40 or 30, man?
He's 34, so right there, 34.
34 years old. So he's 34 years old. And his decision to vacate his upstate New York seat came after Gawker posted the shirtless image that we just showed you guys on our video cast. And what it said was correspondence between him and a 34-year-old woman. The woman, who Gawker described as a 34-year-old government employee from Maryland but did not name, told the gossip site she posted an ad last month on the Women for Men forum seeking financially and emotionally secure men who don't look like toads.
Would that qualify me?
I think that'd qualify you, yeah.
No, you, no, you're you kidding me or something?
No, that one, you ain't gonna make it, man. Not with that your messed up head.
What are you guys talking about, okay? Can I finish this? Anyway, it said it don't look like toads. That same day, she got a response from a person who said his name was Christopher Lee. And she said, great, I've seen all your movies, especially Dracula 1970. He said, thank you. Anyway.
What was that?
That's another guy. Never mind.
That was a guy, right?
Yes, Christopher Lee was a horror actor. Never mind. She said, loved you in Frankenstein 2000. And he's, yeah. So,
I gotta see these movies, man.
They're all Christopher Lee Hammer movies. Hammer Productions. You don't remember Hammer? Oh, you guys are too young. Hammer did all these great British horror movies in the 50s and 60s that Christopher Lee and the other Peter Cushing generally were the big stars of.
I never heard of Peter Cushing or anything, but Christopher Lee was in a fellowship on a ring.
Which one?
On the last, or like all three of them, I think.
Yeah, Christopher Lee played who'd he play, Jason? You didn't see the Fellowship of the Ring? Saruman, that one sorcerer guy. And so anyway, get out of here. I don't want to talk about that. I'm talking about the congressman. That same day, she got a response from a person who said his name was Christopher Lee, describing himself as a 39-year-old lobbyist, a very fit, fun, classy guy. I live in the Capitol Hill area, 6 foot, 190 pounds, blonde, blue, and 9 extra pounds. Nah, I'm just kidding around. Oh, man, I'm kidding. Yeah, Saruman the White. That was Christopher Lee's character in whatever. So in the follow-up emails, he attached photos, one in a blue polo shirt and the other shirtless. Well, I don't know. It's actually, if you see the picture, and again, we'll show you, it's not an obscene picture.
No, it's just a guy with no shirt.
Yeah, it's a guy with no shirt. So it's not a... But the fact is, the cat's married. And he has one child. And he was elected to the 26th district in 2008. Now, what happened? How did this stuff get to Gawker's attention? Anyway, he was elected in the 26th district in 2008. He was reelected. The power to call the special election falls to Governor Andrew Cuomo. David Patterson, blah, 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 blah. Naturally, they don't tell you how Gawker got a hold of these pictures. And whether this woman came to them willingly, did they pay her? Was it caught? Was the gig up? We don't know how. I'm always interested in finding out how it is that Gawker or any particular website gets a hold of this information.
I think probably they pay people.
They do?
Yeah, I think they do. And they might. Or that lady might have said, I got a picture of him and you want to have it.
Well, he says that he's a 39-year-old lobbyist, a very fit, fun, classy guy, and lives in the Capitol Hill area. I just don't say. But obviously, this clown, he's not too bright, you know. And boy, they'll eat you up and spit you out in Washington, D.C. According to Jace, after the woman found out he was a married congressman, she sent the emails to Gawker out of anger. Yeah, this guy's a jackball. Now, you remember that other clown, that Eric Massa? Massa, boy, was that guy a wacko.
Yeah, he was having tickle fights and stuff.
Well, he was saying, apparently there were allegations of sexual harassment, and then there was a tickle fight, and then it was like, forget it.
What do you mean a tickle fight?
He was living with like four other guys, and they were all like in their 50s, and they had regular tickle fights on the floor.
What?
I don't know how old they were. He was in his 40s. I don't know, man. All right, folks. Well, this is our new closeout number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Our show is produced by Jason Rantz. Our technical director, of course, is Rick Johnson, and our associate producer is Dan Northcraft. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and this is Radio for Patriots by Patriots.
Show at PhilHenryShow.com and look at it.
Yeah, yeah.
Phil Hendry.